we were just talked about the neck injuries, and had you advance to State's Exhibit 17, which is a closer view of those pattern injuries. Could you just show us again what you were referring to?
So the pattern of vertical lines, a more almost like a honeycombed pattern here, to me was consistent with the cords from her shirt and the seaming and weave of the fabric being involved with in leaving its mark on the skin.
So either being pressed against it, or as you demonstrated earlier, I'll just make a record of that, someone grabbing all of that and twisting.
Both of those could lead to that outcome, yes.
If we could move on then to State's Exhibit 18. What's shown in this photo?
So this is a photograph of her chest and abdomen, and in this case what we're showing are the cords from her shirt paired up to or next to the vertical pattern of injury that we see over her central chest.
And if you could move on to Exhibit 19, I think there's even a closer view of that.
So all of these, so this again shows that pattern with the distinct imprint of the cords.
And what's your opinion then as to what likely caused just those marks?
Well, that when some force was applied causing bruising to her chest, the cords were in the way, and so they got caught and crushed in that process.
And at the top of this photograph, State's Exhibit 19, is an area you previously identified as bruising. Would you just kind of illustrate where that is, again, with the laser pointer?
So we have the bruising, the cord marks, more bruising there.
And below that area, there's a substantial amount of redness.
This is all lividity, or the settling of blood after death.
Thank you. If we could move on then. State's Exhibit 20.
So this is a photograph depicting her back of her head and the left side of the back of her head, her neck, and her upper back. And what it shows is we have bruising here in the left upper back. We have bruising here just to the left of the spine. Another series of bruises just to the right of the spine.
And what was the significance of those three findings?
Basically, again, bruising indicating that there was some sort of an impact, either her body striking something or something striking her body in those locations.
As you look at these, are these clearly pre-mortem injuries?
Yes.
And is there a pattern involved in the bruises in the middle near her spine?
Yes. What we're seeing are three sort of distinct ovals of bruising here on the left side, another pattern with three ovals on the left side.
Did you confirm that all six of those are actually bruises?
Yes.
In the way you talked about earlier?
Yes.
What's the significance of the pattern, the two sets of patterns, or maybe one pattern, in your opinion of what likely caused those?
What it indicates is that whatever she impacted or impacted her basically had somewhat of a knobby pattern to it. Could be knuckles, could be anything which gives you those distinct peaks and valleys.
Are there internal injuries that we'll talk about later that relate to this area?
Yes.
Explain generally so that the jury understands how those internal injuries relate to this in terms of location.
Okay. Internally, I found evidence of injury of the back of her lungs, both on the right and left sides. That would indicate to me, in conjunction with what we see on the outside of her back, that a fairly significant amount of force struck her or impacted her in this region, and that that force caused damage not just to the skin, but also deeper in her body.
If we could move on then to States Exhibit 21. What's 21? Shown? Sorry, what's shown in States Exhibit 20?
Go back to 20.
No, okay. I'm just asking now about 21. What is this?
Again, this is showing her back a little bit more closely in the area we previously had talked about, with the areas of distinct bruising on either side of her spine.
And if we could move on to States Exhibit 22. Tell us what we're seeing here.
This is another photograph of her back. This time it's a little lower than what we were seeing before, which was up here. And here we have an irregular area of bruising in the sort of middle central right back.
What was your opinion as to what likely resulted in that area of bruising?
So this was... again, the application of force, whether it was her body striking something or something striking her body, I can't tell. But it caused bruising of the skin and underlying tissues. Internally, there was a deeper injury in the upper abdominal region. Could be related to that, could be related to a blow from the front, I can't tell.
Was this a pre-mortem injury?
Yes.
As to this particular area above the placard that has the case number,
mm-hmm.
is there a pattern involved in that, somewhat similar to the pattern that you saw on the net?
Possible. It's not anywhere near as distinct in terms of the weave of the fabric or the cords that we saw elsewhere. It's possible.
We can move on there. So States Exhibit 23.
So this is a picture we took showing the area of injury in the center back, and then overlaid it with where her clothing to see if we could make that match in terms of a pattern.
What opinion did you reach about that?
It's possible.
We could move on then to Exhibit 24.
This is a close-up, again, showing this what the injury area looks like and what the weave of the fabric and decorative tassels may have left on the skin.
Moving on then to Exhibit 25.
This is a photograph showing the lower back and left side. And again, it shows an area of irregular bruising where I'm pointing.
What can you tell us about the likely cause of that?
Again, application of force, same as we've said before, whether she struck something or something struck her, I can't tell you.
And is there a pattern involved with this one?
Again, that same sort of irregularity that may match the weave of her garment.
You could move on to States Exhibit 26. I believe that's a close-up of that. And then on to Exhibit 27.
So these are photographs of her right hand. You can see on the thumb there's a scrape or abrasion over the knuckle. She also has a scrape or abrasion over the knuckle of the middle right finger.
And were you able to express any opinion as to when these were likely caused?
They look relatively fresh. They certainly could have happened at the same time as all of the bruising. Could they have happened sometime slightly before that? possible.
We've had some testimony from Sununu's older brother that at least one of the injuries to her hand had he had seen previous to her disappearance that morning, and that it was scabbed over. The way he put it was dried at that time. We don't know which of these it is, but would that help you to express an opinion as to age?
If an abrasion has been described as scabbed over, that means there's been enough time for the body to begin to mount the healing process. Generally speaking, to scab over an abrasion takes a few hours for it to be noticeably scabbed.
Are these the typical kinds of injuries you would see with a child who's 7 years old?
Yes, these are consistent with an active child and injuries that not necessarily indicating being in a fight or trying to protect themselves.
At least pre-mortem.
Yes.
Let's move on to State's Exhibit 28, if you would. What is shown in this photograph?
What we're showing is a photograph taken before we finished undressing the body, and this shows the left wrist with and forearm with marked bruising and deformation or deformity.
Show us, if you would, what is bruising in this photograph.
This is all bruising.
Now, her hand, it's, as I understand it, her left hand, is that right?
That is correct.
Also seems to be discolored. What would be your opinion
that's,
as to what causes
that's more that? Consistent with lividity over the palm of her hand. But this darker and more swollen area is bruising.
And you verified that by the incision process you talked about?
Yes.
Is this what her fingernails look like as you received her body?
Yes.
So nothing has been done to them at this stage?
No.
Tell us about the significance of the bruising, just in terms of your opinion of what caused that.
Well, the bruising is the result of a deeper injury. And what we found was that both bones of her forearm were snapped off.
If you could advance the slide and show us that. Moving on to State's Exhibit 29.
So what we've got now is a pairing of a photograph of the outside of her arm and then a x-ray that we took showing the damage to the ends of the two bones of her forearm.
What is your opinion as to what likely caused this?
Again, these are blunt force injuries. A fracture is the application of force across the bone which exceeds its ability to absorb, and so the bone snaps or breaks.
What type of specific mechanism might cause this in your experience and training?
Essentially, if you have anything that is going to bend the bone beyond its torsional limits. So a snapping that way, if the arm is caught and then body moves, you could snap the bone that way. There's any way you can think of applying a bending force across the bone could do that.
And just to make a record of what you just demonstrated, you were showing your hands on either side of where the fracture is and bending?
Correct.
Or she might have got her hand caught and then pulled backwards in something?
That could do it
like
too, yes.
A piece of machinery or something?
Pardon me?
Piece of machinery, if that were...
If that was in the investigative information, we could say that's possible, but I didn't see any mangling like a machine would usually do.
Is it significant that there's bruising over this area?
It's indicative of the fact that after the bone broke, the person still had blood pressure, and so blood was pumped out into that damaged tissue, leading to swelling and discoloration.
So clearly premortem.
Yes.
assuming she's conscious at the time that this injury occurred, what would she likely have felt?
That would be excruciatingly painful.
Would that pain persist after the injury was caused?
Yes.
Given the entire collection of injuries that you've been talking about, what's your opinion as to whether this is the result of some accident or was inflicted upon her?
Given the constellation of injuries and the absence of any reasonable explanation how this occurred accidentally, it goes along with the overall conclusion that these are inflicted injuries.
Would a child falling down stairs likely result in this type of injury?
Alone, that's a possibility. But again, in conjunction with everything else that I found on her, a fall as the cause of everything just does not make sense.
So when you talk about all of the injuries that you discovered, a fall downstairs would not account for everything?
That's correct.
This time I'd like to switch to the use of the 3D model so that you can illustrate how the external injuries we've been talking about relate to the internal injuries.
Okay.
And let me just ask you a couple of foundational questions. Was this model that we're going to refer to next created based upon your actual autopsy findings?
Yes.
And did you participate and supervise each step of the process of creation?
Yes.
Does this accurately depict the injuries that you identified internally in Cernimmu and the relationship between those internal injuries and the external injuries?
Yes.
Would it help you to illustrate your findings and your opinions as to what caused those findings to use this presentation?
Yes, I think it would make things clearer and more understandable for a lay audience.
If we could move on then to the 3D model. So tell us what it is that we're starting with.
So this is a 3D animation representation of the victim. You can see that some of the injuries are depicted externally with the bruising over the chest, the bruising over the jaw, cheek, and neck region.
If you would advance.
This is, again, the model with the injuries that we talked about in her left temple region and across her jaw and cheek depicted.
If you would animate the next part.
This, now that the model has been turned, we're looking at the right side, and this shows the bruising on the right cheek that we talked about earlier.
Again, if you would advance.
What we've done now is the model has had the skin and superficial subcutaneous or underskin tissues taken away, and it's depicting that I saw areas of bruising on the inside of her scalp that you could not see externally, and that's not uncommon. If you get a bump on your head, you may not see anything on the outside of your scalp, but when I come along and look at the inside, you may have hemorrhage and bruising there. And in this case, we saw bruising over the right frontal and top of the head.
So just to specify exactly where this is, it's below the scalp, but above the skull.
On the inner surface of the scalp, above the skull.
What's your opinion as to what likely would have caused these?
These are impacts, again, something either striking the head in this location or her head hitting something in that location.
What type of force would be needed to cause this finding?
Not horrendous amounts, but significant enough to cause an area of bruising a couple of inches in diameter.
Do you have an opinion as to whether these were caused by one blow or two discrete blows?
I can't say. We have two discrete areas of injury, so it would be could be consistent with two impacts. But again, if the impacting implement or surface was irregular, you might be able to get it from one impact.
And just to be very clear about this, there's no skull fracture underlying this area?
No, she did not have any skull fracture. She did not have damage underlying of the underlying brain.
Thank you. If we can move on then to the next animation.
So this is the left side. As the model turns, it shows the laceration we talked about earlier, and then the bruising and damage to the jaw region.
If you would animate.
I found other areas of that bruising of the inner surface of the scalp that could not be seen externally in the left frontal region and in the left temporal region.
So right above the left ear.
Right above the left ear, but still above where all that jaw injury was.
What's your opinion as to the likely cause of these two areas?
Again, impacts of some kind, whether her head hits something or something hits her head, I cannot tell you.
Are these areas very consistent with the two that you've just described that were on the other side?
Yes.
And is the first or the front area potentially related to that area of laceration in terms of its location?
It's possible that laceration and whatever caused the inner bruising of the scalp were contemporaneous together. It's possible.
Were all four of these areas of bleeding below the scalp premortem?
Yes.
And explain that if you would.
And basically, the degree of hemorrhage would be consistent with somebody who still has blood pressure.
What else is shown in this particular?
You might begin to see the bleeding in one of the muscles of her neck there.
And I'm just referring to the injury inside of her lower jaw. Or inside of her lower chin, sorry.
You mean the lip one?
Yes.
Yeah.
And show us what that
looks. Well, basically, we're seeing what she had is she had bruising on the inner surface of her lip in that region.
Okay. The bruise.
Yes.
Again, with the injuries under the scalp, are you able to say on the left side whether this is likely one blow or more than one?
More likely that it's going to be two blows because they're on very different planes. You know, you've got a front plane, which is flat across this way. Then you have another plane in the temple, which is at a distinct angle. It'd be difficult to get same thing happening with one blow. I think two impacts would be more consistent.
Now, if we could move on to the next area. What's shown here?
So we're moving down the model. We're back on the front, and we're showing both the jaw and cheek bruising, the neck bruising, and the bruising over the upper central chest region.
If you would proceed to the next slide.
Again, the outer layer of the model has been moved, and it's now showing the structures of deeper structures of the neck, including some of the main muscles. And what it's showing here is that I did see bruising of the muscle that goes from the top of the breastplate up towards the base of the tongue called the hyoid. There's a bone called the hyoid bone. So there's this damage to that muscle down low.
Again, pre-mortem injury?
Yes.
You've expressed opinions previously about how this relates to the injuries inside the eyelid and the white of the eye, as well as the external bruising. But would you restate that now that we've seen what you found internally?
Okay, so the fact that she has the petechiae, the pinpoint hemorrhages of the whites of her eye and the lining of her eyelids, the fact that she has a patterned injury across the front of her neck externally, along with a deeper injury, to me is all consistent with some sort of constriction pressure on the neck impeding and or blocking blood flow to and from the head.
Would you move on to the next, which again shows the bleeding in the eyes and the eyelid?
So now we are focusing on the bruising over the center of her chest. And it's showing that internally I found damage to the underlying tissue. So there's bruising and bleeding into the muscle of the underlying chest wall.
And as you look at the external bruises plus this finding internally, what does that tell you about the nature of the lung force finding?
What it tells you is that, again, the amount of force is probably more than what it would take just to bruise the skin, because now we have deeper injury as well.
And if we could move on then to slide number three.
We're now on an overall or overview picture of the back of her body, showing injuries on her back, also depicting the injury of her left forearm. This, again, shows the injury in the upper right or upper left back, the injuries with the distinct three parts to them on either side of her spine, and then the more regular injuries of her lower mid-back and lower back.
I think if you'll advance, there are circles that appear around those. It's a little hard to see. The resolution on the projector is not very good.
All of them are circled now?
Yes. You've now talked about all of those areas of injury, but you've talked about the lung injuries. But what is slide 103?
So again, what's happened is the outer layers of the model have been taken away, so that we're now looking at the lungs in the chest cavity from behind, and there was bruising of the upper back and side portion of the left lung, and then there were distinct bruises of the backs. Surface of the lower right lung.
And as to those, the ones you just illustrated, those appear to be somewhat linear?
Yes, and the pattern would be consistent with ribs actually being what went into the lungs causing damage and bruising.
And what does that tell you about the nature of the force that was applied to cause these injuries?
Again, it ratchets it up. It's a more severe injury because it's so deep. It clearly shows that the ribs have been pushed against the lung tissue itself.
Assuming that she was conscious when these injuries were caused, would these be painful?
Yes.
And are these clearly pre-mortem injuries?
Yes.
What's the significance of the bleeding in the upper area of the left lung?
This is, again, indicative of the severity of the force that was involved, meaning that damage is much deeper than just the skin or underlying muscle.
It appears that there's some bleeding in between the two lungs, some reddened area in between.
Yeah.
What's the significance of that?
This is depicting another finding, which was in the center of her chest, essentially in front of the spinal column. There was damage with the tissues of that central structure of her chest actually having been pulled away or sheared off of her spinal column. So there was hemorrhage or bleeding throughout the upper chest, deep structures of the upper chest. There was even damage to the main artery of her body called the aorta.
And explain what would likely be necessary to cause that.
That, again, is a very significant injury. It means that force was applied. There was enough force applied, and it was probably applied with a very sharp and distinct impact so that the tissues were sheared away or stripped away from the spinal column, which they're pretty firmly attached.
So a very major blow.
Yes.
Premortem?
Yes.
As you consider those external injuries to the back, the lung injuries, the injuries to both sides of her, next to her spine that you've described, are those all apparently related to the same mechanism?
Yes.
And are you able to express any opinion about how many blows were likely involved?
At least two, maybe more.
We can move on then to slide 104. And if you would animate that.
So this is her right hand. We're looking at it from side, and it shows the scrape on her thumb that we talked about. It also depicts the scrape on her index finger that we saw, and finally the third scrape on the middle finger.
And you talked about these previously.
Yes.
Any additional that we need to cover?
No.
If you could move on then.
So this is a depiction of the deformation and discoloration of her left forearm and wrist area. And then an animation showing the fracturing of the radius and the ulna, the two bones of the forearm.
Just to make very clear, what type of fracture is this?
A complete fracture. I'm not sure what you're getting at.
I mean, is it through and through both bones?
Yes, both bones are separated from either end. The ends are separated. They weren't held together by fragments of bone.
And sometimes referred to as a transverse fracture.
Yes, that would be a term.
We can move on then.
This is a depiction of an injury we haven't talked about before. This was a small bruise on the inside of her right knee.
And would you move on, because I think the next one shows that.
So just a very small bruise. Relatively fresh appearing. Whether it was contemporaneous with the much more severe injuries or not, I cannot tell you. Could have happened in that process of what the injuries that killed her. Could be just a stumble and fall kind of injury that kids always get.
So of all the injuries we've been talking about, which of the injuries we have talked about are more likely or at least potentially to have been caused by just regular childhood play?
This one on the knee, certainly the injuries on the hand would be consistent with the kinds of damage that kids get in just normal daily activity.
Dr. Gray, did you also find internal injuries to Tsunamu's abdominal?
Yes.
Tell us what you discovered
Internally in the abdomen, I found evidence of bleeding surrounding her pancreas, which is an organ relatively deep in the upper central abdomen. She also had bruising of the tissues that support the bowel, called the mesentery. She also had bruising around her right kidney.
And given the nature and location of those injuries, were you able to form an opinion as to what likely caused those?
Those are consistent with, again, blunt force, impact of some kind. Exactly how they came to be, I cannot say.
If you would advance the slide and just comment on what we're seeing.
So here we're just showing her neck, torso, and arms from the left side. And what the animation is going to depict is the application of force to her upper abdomen, which is consistent with what I saw internally in terms of deeper damage. Remember, the abdomen is quite soft, quite distensible, so you might not see anything externally if the force is applied over a wide enough area. But it certainly can cause damage to deeper tissues because they'll be pushed up against the spine and crushed.
And before you move on to show that, is this meant to depict any particular type of force or object that was used to cause these?
No, the reason we used something that looked like a half of a ball is just because I wanted to try to show that it had to be something fairly diffuse, not necessarily with distinct marks, and not very focused, like if I showed an arrow coming in.
Before you move on, does this show the type of compression of that area that would be necessary to cause those internal injuries?
It would be consistent with that degree of deformation, yes.
And then if you could just move on and show us those internal injuries.
So this is the front of her lower chest and abdomen with all of the soft tissues taken away. This is bowel, large intestine, small intestine. This is the pancreas here. The kidneys would be on either side, the liver up higher.
Just to be very clear before you show, before you show the injury, there are other organs that have been removed to show the pancreas, is that right?
Yes, essentially the stomach would be in front of the pancreas. Since there was no damage to the stomach, it's been removed so that we can just see the pancreas.
Sure. I just wanted to make that clear before we move on. So if you could move on and explain what injuries you found.
So this is now showing the bleeding or the hemorrhage involving the area around the pancreas and the pancreas.
And your opinion as to the cause of that?
Again, this is blunt force, some sort of an impact.
Moving this up against the spine?
Yes, I mean, you can see the spine would be going right through this region, so the pancreas could quite easily be squashed against the spine if there was a force coming in from the front of the abdomen.
And if you could animate and show what else you found.
So this is, we've rotated the body or the model to show that in addition to the hemorrhage around the pancreas, we do also have this bleeding around the kidney, the right kidney.
Is it your opinion that these injuries you talked about in these areas of bleeding were likely caused by one blow or multiple blows?
One blow is possible. More likely it would be two blows because we have injury more centrally and higher that probably came with the impact coming in from the front. This would be more consistent with an impact coming from the back.
And are there external bruises that are in this general area of the kidney?
Yes. If you remember, we saw that, you know, there were the paired three bruises up high here, but then there was a more irregular area of bruising on the skin in this area.
Were all of these areas of bleeding premortem?
Yes.
Explain.
they are consistent, again, with someone who has blood pressure to pump blood out into the damaged tissues.
And assuming she was still conscious when these were caused, what would Sunamu likely have said?
These would be painful injuries. A person would know that something was wrong inside.
Dr. Gray, what was the most proximate cause of the death of Sunamu?
I mean, of all of the injuries, what was the most lethal injury?
Yes.
An injury that I found to her heart.
And would using an animation assist you to show not only that injury, but the likely mechanism based on your opinion?
Yes.
If you could move on then to the next animation. What is this footage?
So what's happening here is we're showing, again, a view of the body representation from the side. And this is, again, that sort of generic force globe that is going to show where the force came in that caused the most lethal injury that I found. So this is, again, a view from the front after we've taken away the skin and muscle, and it's showing the breastplate and the ribs over the front of the chest. You can see the lungs on either side, and then hidden down in here is where the heart is.
So the heart is actually protected by the ribs and the sternum?
And the sternum, the breastplate, yes.
And when this blow was inflicted, lower blows were inflicted, it would push this up into the heart?
Yes, so essentially you're now having the heart squeezed between the breastplate and the spine.
If you could move on. Just explain to us with this next animation.
Okay, so this is just showing the heart and lungs and the main breathing tube, main artery out of the heart, the aorta, without any of the skeletal material in the way. The animation is showing how the heart beats, and blood returns from the body to the atria, which is the first pumping chamber. The atria pump it into the ventricles. The right ventricle pushes it out through the lungs. It'll come back into the left atrium, into the left ventricle, and then be pumped out to the body through the aorta.
And tell us what the sort of translucent sac is that this heart is enclosed.
So this is what's called the pericardial sac. Your heart doesn't just sit free flopping inside of your chest. There's a bag around it called the pericardium. And that's what this is meant to represent on the model.
What is the function of the pericardium?
It protects the heart in some ways. It is a way of keeping things away from the heart, keeping things from the heart from getting out if there's any kind of a break or a rupture. It may have some functions of allowing the heart to move smoothly and easily.
If the heart itself is lacerated in a way that allows blood to leak into that pericardial sac, but the pericardial sac itself remains intact, what's the likely result of that?
That's going to cause big problems, because as the sac fills up with blood, that means the ability of the heart to refill with blood each time it pumps blood out is restricted, until you get to the point where the blood in the pericardial sac is so, there's so much of it, the heart can't fill. And so essentially the heart stops.
Tell us what injury you found to Sunamu's heart.
What I found when we first examined her the structures of her chest is that this pericardial sac was distended and filled with blood, approximately 80 cc's, so about a little under half a cup of blood that completely surrounded the heart. What I found caused that was she had a tear or laceration of this first pumping chamber or right atrium.
And if you could move on and show us what that looked like.
So there's the tear circled. And then what the animation is showing is that each time the heart pumps, more blood is getting out into the pericardial sac, filling it, and the heart can no longer refill with blood and stops.
After this injury to the heart was caused, how long did she have to live?
This was a small tear. It was on the order of a fifth to a quarter of an inch. So it wouldn't have been immediately lethal, but certainly within a matter of minutes, enough blood could leak out of that each time the heart pumps, the pericardial sac filled. So this is something that was towards the end of her dying process because it was so lethal.
And you talked about the blunt force trauma that would be necessary to cause this in a general way. Tell us more about your opinion as to what would be necessary to cause this particular finding.
This laceration isn't because something sharp tore the tissue. It's because there was enough pressure on the atrium when it was filled with blood. So blood came back, it fills up the atrium, and before it can begin that process of pumping it out, if you squeeze it, it can pop and tear like a water balloon, if you drop a water balloon or squeeze a water balloon.
So if that force that you showed earlier that compresses the chest had been applied at that moment?
Yes.
That would cause this?
If it was applied at the right part of the cycle of filling and pumping and emptying of the heart, yes.
In your opinion, and maybe you're not able to say this, but are you able to say whether it was a quick type of impact or more slowly applied?
Probably quicker, because if it's slow, the heart would be able to pump the blood out of that atrium, and if the pressure was continuing, it might not fill up again. So it's probably a more sharp and distinct impact, causing it to rupture at exactly the, essentially the worst time, when it's completely full of blood.
What would she be able to do after this injury was caused?
This would not be incapacitating immediately. I mean, she certainly could, if she was conscious, she could talk, she could walk. But there's nothing that, this wouldn't stop her from carrying on in a normal fashion. As the sac filled up with blood, she'd lose blood pressure, she'd lose consciousness, she'd die. And that process would be probably one of a matter of minutes.
Given that all the other injuries we've talked about up to this point in time were caused while she's still alive, are you able to express an opinion as to whether this was likely the final injury?
Yes, I think this she didn't have long to live after this injury was sustained. Now, whether some other bruises could have happened while she was dying of this injury, I can't exclude that, but this is the injury that essentially sealed her fate.
Would you move on then to the next part of the presentation and tell us what's shown here again?
So this is a close-up again of the lungs after we've taken away the skeletal structure, so you don't see the spine, you don't see the ribs. And it's depicting the bruising of the upper left lung, the bruising of the lower right lung, and then bleeding associated with where the tissues were pulled away from the front of the spine.
In your opinion, would the same blow that caused the rupture of her heart likely have caused those tissues to be torn from her spine?
Yes, certainly possible.
And I'm not sure if you can go back and do that animation again just so we can look at the front part of that. Mm-hmm. one more past that. Whether that area that you see above the heart and next to the spinal cord was blood leaking from that pericardial sac or from some other source.
Oh, no. The pericardial sac was still intact. So essentially it was filling up like a big bag of blood. It wasn't that it had a hole in it so that blood could work its way up through the upper chest and into this area. That's not consistent. This hemorrhage is due to damage independent of filling of the pericardial sac.
Thank you. If you would move on then, and just using this front diagram of the external and internal injuries, just give us one more summary of what those injuries were that you found.
So, from the front, externally, we have the laceration by her inner left temple area. We have the bruising and instability of her left jaw area. We have the bruising of her right cheek. We have the bruising over the front of her neck, the bruising over her upper chest, the broken radius and ulna of her left forearm, and then the bruise of her right knee. We don't have the scratches on her hand in this animation. Internally, we have the bruising on the inner surfaces of her scalp on both the top, right, and left sides. We have the injury to the neck muscle that we talked about. We have the bruising over the muscle of the upper chest. We have the fractures of the left radius ulna. We have the bruising around the pancreas and right kidney. And then the most lethal injury, which is the tear in the right atrium and the filling of the pericardium with blood.
If you could then advance to the back of her body.
So the back shows that we have bruising in the left upper back. We have bruising over the right central back, some bruising in the lower back region. Now there's the scratches on her right hand. The internal injuries that we see from the back, we have the bruising of the lungs on both the right and left side. We have the bruising around the right kidney. I believe that's it. And again, the fracture of the left arm.
Sure. As you drew your ultimate conclusions as to both cause and manner of her death, explain why it's important for you to consider all of these injuries you've been talking about as a collective whole.
So in reaching a conclusion as to how this little girl died, I can't just say that only one thing caused death. I just said, well, she died just because her heart got a laceration and it filled the sac with blood. I'd have to ignore all of these other injuries that played a role in that process of injury and dying. So that's the analysis of the physical findings that I would go through. In terms of reaching a conclusion as to manner of death, I have to look at what information is given to me about the known circumstances surrounding her death, and if there is correlate as best I can physical findings with whatever investigative information is provided.
After considering all of the injuries together, as you just described, were you able to form an ultimate opinion as to the cause of Sunamu's death?
Yes.
What is your opinion?
What I put on her death certificate is that she died as a result of blunt force injuries of her head, her torso, her neck, her torso, and her left wrist. So the summation of all of those injuries is what I ascribed her death.
And again, based on your review of everything, were you able to draw a conclusion as to the manner of her death?
Yes.
What was your opinion?
I certified that this was a homicide.
Which means, again, what?
The death due to an intentional action by another person or persons.
What is your level of certainty as to each of those opinions?
To a reasonable degree of medical certainty.
Dr. Gray, are you able to say, as you consider all of these different injuries, that it would have taken some duration of time to cause these?
Yes.
They didn't all happen at once.
They are not consistent with one single blow or impact or process that I can envision.
Is there anything to indicate that there were different times separated by hours and hours between the different injuries, or are they all consistent with having been caused at about the same time?
In looking at these injuries, both with my naked eye and in looking at them under the microscope, they all appear to be fairly contemporaneous. There is no evidence that I could see that told me, oh, this injury happened long enough before death that I'm really beginning to see clear signs of the body trying to heal that damage, which was then superseded by a more recent injury. So they all appeared to be contemporaneous. What time frame that contemporaneity implies is probably within a matter of either minutes or an hour or so.
Now, at the conclusion of your autopsy, Dr. Lori Frazier, a child abuse pediatrician from Primary Children's, came to your office and did a colposcopic examination of Sununu.
Yes, that's correct.
And she's testified previously. Did you also have a chance to see her findings?
I saw her findings when she was doing the examination. I also saw her photographs and read her report.
And were you able to draw your own conclusions as to whether there were, in addition to everything else, injuries to Sunamu's genitals?
Yes.
What was your conclusion as to the nature of those injuries?
There were areas of small, somewhat petechial hemorrhage involving the tissues around her urethra and on a portion of her hymen. Those, again, would be consistent with blunt force, some sort of pressure or impact in those regions.
Possibly penetrating trauma?
It's possible, yes.
Based upon what you saw, were you able to express an opinion as to whether those were caused prior to the death of Sermon?
They appeared to be premortem injuries, again, indicating that they occurred when this person still had some blood pressure.
And if you would advance the slide to the last one. What was the significance of your overall review of everything as you saw what Sunmu looked like in life and as you conducted the autopsy?
Well, she's a fairly extensive, the injured little girl whose injuries were deforming and defacing in some degree.
That's all I have.
Mr. Peterson? Cross-examination?
I'm going to proceed now, Judge.
Counsel, quickly approach timing matters. So this was about, a 2-hour examination, which your cross previously has been pretty short.
Well, it's pretty long. I had him up for an hour and a half. I can do this in 30 minutes.
What do you think?